Welcome again, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Episode 9 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets, and you can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. As always, feel free to contact me if you have questions or comments about today's show, or if you'd just like to hear us discuss specific issues in future shows. Today we'll be talking to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com partner and San Jose Sharks strength coach Mike Potenza. And also as a special guest, we'll be on the phone with strength coach Dan Gabelman from the newly crowned NCAA hockey champions, Union College. On today's episode, we'll be talking to Coach Potenza about his Black Aces workout. And we'll also be tapping into his extensive youth training background to talk about considerations for a developmental hockey program. We're also excited about getting a chance to talk to Union College strength coach Dan Gabelman about his recipe for success with the Dutch this season. In just a minute, we'll get on the phone with Coach Potenza. But first, in case you aren't familiar with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, it's a partnership between NHL strength coaches Sean Skane and Mike Potenza, USA Hockey National Team Development Program strength and conditioning coach Daryl Nelson, and Director of Athletic Development at Endeavor Fitness, Kevin Neal. At HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you'll find hundreds of articles, videos, programs, audio interviews, webinars, and lively forum discussions, all geared towards improving the performance of hockey players. So whether you're a strength and conditioning professional, a motivated player, youth coach, or hockey parent, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is the only training resource you will ever need to produce healthier, stronger, more effective players at any level. New articles, videos, and programs are posted weekly, along with periodic audio interviews and webinars, and all of our coaches weigh in on the ongoing forum discussions. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our material for just $1 for the first 7 days. You'll be able to check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or even get advice from them directly in the forum. We're sure you're going to love the content, but if you're not completely happy with it, simply cancel your trial membership and you'll be out just $1. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be a part of the greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning coaches on the planet for just $14.95 a month. You can also get 2 months free if you sign up for the year at just $149. Either option's an incredible bargain for so much material from these great coaches, so don't miss your opportunity to join them. Alright, again, we've got a lot to talk about today, so let's get on the phone with our first guest, Coach Mike Potenza.
Alright, so we're on the phone with San Jose Sharks strength coach Mike Potenza. Mike is also a HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com partner, so he's responsible for all the great content we have on the site. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We're just through playoffs now for the Sharks anyway. A first-round exit in Game 7 against the Kings. But one of the most recent things you put up on the site was the Black Aces workout, which can be pretty unique. Can you take us through what your considerations are for the Black Aces?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for those of our listeners who don't know who the Black Aces are, one, I don't know where the name originated.
Me neither.
But they are a contingent of players who we have within San Jose, and every team obviously has a group that skates and trains in preparation if they get called into the lineup for a Stanley Cup playoff game. And most of them are from Worcester. Now, if Worcester's out of the playoffs as well, they're our American League team. If they were still playing, we would not have as many. But we did have 10 players, and they're basically kind of ready. They have to keep a high readiness and stay alert because something can change with an injury. As you follow the NHL playoffs, you can see that a lot of bumps and bruises obviously can accumulate, and they would have to be injected into the lineup. And the considerations I have for their program, one is to assess any dysfunction. I know already coming in what they have and what they've been through because we have a great assistant strength coach down there, Ken Hetzel, who's been working with the Worcester Sharks now for 3 years, 3 seasons. And they'll come up here, we'll address any dysfunctions and utilize the corrective exercise program through the FMS to address anything. Strength-wise, we have to be really careful on how much we do. So we have to get that fine line of, all right, we want to train to maintain high levels of strength, but we also have to worry about them being them having high amounts of soreness, and then all of a sudden now they're injected back into the lineup, you know? Being that they're on the ice all day, or every day for about an hour and a half, an hour session with some of our development coaches, they will get their metabolic conditioning on the ice. We don't do much off ice at all, in terms of strict conditioning work. And we have to manage the workload off ice with the on ice, workload. So, predominantly we would use volumes between 5 and 8, occasionally 8, but more between in the 5 rep range for all of our core lifts. Any Olympic lift teaching, we will use, teaching exercises of the Olympic lift, drop clean, prop clean, muscle snatch, muscle clean, push jerk is kind of a big exercise for Olympic movement that we'll use with that group. But a lot of them, if we go from the block a lot, if we're using Olympic lifting movements with that group, just to teach them, to set them up for the summer. It's a great time too for this group of 10 to 12, 13 kids, because we can actually go over some of the elements of the summer program so they know what to expect. They know the exercises.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity for you. These are obviously the top players that are coming up from Worcester. So these are the guys that you're likely going to see in the near future. So that's a great opportunity for you.
Yep.
So even, you know, now that the season is over for you guys, or at least the playing season, I do want to talk about, a lot of people know you as the strength coach for the Sharks, and possibly even back to your time at Wisconsin. But what a lot of people, I think, don't know is that you spent quite a bit of time with youth athletes, youth players, in the Madison area before you were with Wisconsin, and probably while you were there also. A presentation that you have on the site that I think really is interesting to me anyway, and I think is great information for a lot of people, is you're creating a developmental training program for youth players. And I guess what I'd like you to touch on is the difference and the different focus for different age groups. I think a lot of people want to train players as though they're NHL players, and a lot of times it's just not appropriate for certain age groups. Can you go through maybe some of the high school ages and what the training focus is going to be?
Absolutely, yeah. Let me first start by saying I think all too many times in the United States we overdo the need for workouts or physical training at such a young age. We just think that the weights or an agility ladder or something like that is going to be, you know, the mechanism or mode of training that a youth athlete should do. And then all the time, very frequently they do it too early. So it's, you can't do the same thing with a very young athlete as you would with a high school. There needs to be a progression. And what I found is some of the best people in the business, it's Von Bali, and a lot of ideas I got from Jim Schneider, a good friend of mine at the University of Wisconsin, was a teaching paradigm of, okay, what is physiologically appropriate for a young athlete? Maybe, you know, 8 years old to 10, 10 years old to 12, 12 to 14. As you start getting into those teenage years, you get a little bit more, you have to focus a little bit more on the social aspect of it. And I mean social is that they're engrossed with a team more, maybe has a travel schedule attached to it. You're getting into their high school years, so there's other motivations to want to train for things, you know, maybe appearance, things like that. Maybe it's challenging for them to not be as strong as some of the other people in the group. And also, can they conduct themselves in a mature way in a training setting? Our training environment, as we all know, presents some potential risks, not only for youth athletes, but for professional athletes as well. So what I've come to learn is that, you know, the younger they are, the more our PE concepts, our physical education concepts, ring out louder. So the tumbling, the crawling, the change in direction with tag games, you know, body awareness training, body weight, mastering, like Ringen Betta said, master body weight before external resistance. Those types of things, technique training, have to be at the forefront of your program, first and foremost. So if we look at the age group that you were interested in talking at or starting at, which is the high school athlete, if we get a high school athlete who has no prior training or has done a little bit of training, I always like to start with the body awareness and technique work. Now, technique work can be in the form of Olympic lifting, can be in the form of our core lifts of bench, squat, deadlift. And then we would obviously, once they get strong enough, we can go into single leg positions and things like that. Upper body pulling is a classic, and upper body pushing in the form of pull-ups and push-ups are classic examples of exercises that youth athletes need to know how to master and need to know how to do it properly, right? Not just for volume or reps or max reps and things like that. You can push them, but you always have to push them on the foundation of exquisite, excellent technique, obviously. So with the external resistance of being a broomstick or their own body weight, you kind of lay a foundation of technique, which is critical. It's critical to neuromuscular development, for movement pattern development. It will also help them handle loads appropriately as they get older. When it's their first experience to a weight room, we have to, again, check the maturity level if they're joking around with their friends or if they're taking it seriously, just so it's a safety concern. Now, I had the privilege of working with Mike Boyle in his private facilities and at BU with Glenn Harris, who is the head strength coach there. And at BU, obviously, it's a very dominant hockey program in the country, and it was my first experience working with hockey players from the Ann Arbor, USA National Team Development Program. So for 2 years in high school, their latter 2 years in high school, they would train and compete in Michigan, but they would compete against other universities in exhibition games. They would compete against the USHL teams, and they would compete in two or three tournaments overseas a year. And their foundation through Darren Nelson was a training foundation that was very good. I always knew that working in Wisconsin is that, okay, I know if I get an Ann Arbor, Michigan kid from the National Team Development Program working with Darrell, I know they're going to be ahead of their time. Their training age is going to be 2 years older than a classmate of theirs. So I wouldn't have to take them through the whole Olympic lifting teaching progression that I have. I can implement them in a juniors or seniors program. So that fast forwards them in their growth and development, because these kids are potentially going to be NHLers. So setting that foundation for them and actually accelerating them, they will leave college at a six-year training age rather than a four-year training age, as if they came in as a freshman with no prior experience. So it's always beneficial to get that type of athlete. Now, if I don't have that type of athlete, if I'm working with a high school age kid or just prior to high school age, and they're working on technique, they're working on weight room maturity, the next step for them is to add a little bit more external resistance. We don't automatically go to maxing out and things like that, but we want to make sure that they can handle a little bit more load. We challenge them with more body awareness, maybe more challenging unstable surface training, or maybe more challenging single leg positions, maybe challenging more challenging crawling. Maybe more challenging plyometrics, and I should say plyometrics for youth athletes are good, but they're only good on a stable foundation of teaching, which should be rooted in landing skills, right, both single and double leg. So that next step for the high school age kid, we challenge them with different those different stresses. Before they leave high school and they're getting ready to go to college, that's when we would probably handle their heaviest loads, establish maybe some estimated maximums for them, and give them a little more direction on where their growth and development could go, where their max strength and speed could go. Then when you get to college, it's a whole other level of teaching, right? So you're starting to master these motor skills, these functional movements, and then as you become a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you're going to continue to add load. You're at such a ripe time between 17 and 21 years of age, physiologically, to gain strength and to utilize the hormones that are going through your body, that you really need those prior years of the foundation, the technical lifting or training foundation, to maximize the benefits as you get older in college. Does that make sense? That's not to say you're going to, you know, cheat yourself on your gains later in college if you don't train in high school, but you just won't maximize them, you know, because your time is going to be more spent on the mastery of technique that you already would have done if you started training at 13, 14 years old. So I hope I painted that picture clearly. It can be a long process, and if you have a young athlete who's excited to train or get involved with that, then that's the route I've come to learn is the most successful. And you have to be able, as a coach, part of the art of coaching is that you may get a new athlete who has never trained before. So where in that process do they get interjected? You know, I can tell you right now, I have European or major junior hockey players who are very talented, high levels of skill, and they have a really good basis of strength, but they do not have a training age.
Mm-hmm.
So I, in fact, have to start them where I would a early teenage athlete or early high school athlete, with technique work, controlling body awareness, movements, proper movement patterns, learning how to turn, activate your core stabilizers, all these different things. I have to start there and then hope as he becomes a more seasoned pro, then we can get to the levels of, more intense strength training, right? So that's just the way the pro hockey goes, you know. I actually have some athletes where I'll see them after we draft them, give them a training program, and then they go off to their team, whether it be in Canada or, you know, in Switzerland or in, you know, Czech Republic or Sweden. So I have to kind of keep tabs on them and their development and growth throughout the year. The quick email or you know, they send me their training program so I can kind of see what they're doing. And then we actually meet every summer for a development camp in July. So it's, you know, the scale is going to slide different ways for different players. You just have to be able to know where to start and implement that. So I don't, unfortunately, work with a lot of youth athletes anymore, maybe a handful throughout the year because of my schedule so busy, but it's something I did have I always will have an appreciation for. And, you know, I can kind of see where you can implement that type of system, which are pro hockey players, you know, because we're getting them so young, so.
Yeah, some of those guys, they are teenagers in draft year. They're 18 years old. Some of them are teenagers when they come
right.
in. And like you said,
yeah.
These are the guys that at the top of the game, and they're there because, in most part, because of their hockey skills. So training maybe hasn't been a priority for them. But I think what you're getting to is you know, it comes down to efficiency of movement. So like you said, if you have a shaky base, you're not going to be able to build quite as much on top of that base.
Absolutely right. Yep. Well said.
All right. Well, Coach Potenza, thanks a lot for taking your time to talk to us today, and good luck getting your summer stuff together, and good luck moving forward this summer with your development camp with your guys and the guys that are sticking around in San Jose.
Yes. Thank you very much. And one last thing for our listeners, again. To promote a good friend of mine, Jim Schneider's website, neuroexplosion.com, has good youth development articles. And then there's another gentleman who's out of Canada. His name is Itwan Bali, who I've come to learn a lot of great developmental macro cycles and the developmental system for a youth athlete. I think they're very beneficial resources for everybody.
Great. Maybe we could get them to contribute a little bit to the site for us, and definitely take a look at that. And anything that helps, that's what the site's all about.
Yep. Great. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. We got some great information from Mike there. If you're a member, you can check out that whole presentation entitled Considerations for a Developmental Hockey Program. There's a lot more information in the presentation, and it's really, really valuable for anyone who works with youth athletes or anyone in the private sector who could see a number of different ages. All right, well, thanks again to Coach Potenza for all that great information. Let's go ahead and get on the phone with Dan Gabelman, head strength coach at Union College.
Union just won their first NCAA hockey championship, so congratulations to them. And we look forward to talking to Coach Gableman. Let's get him on the phone.
All right, so we're on the phone with head strength and conditioning coach at Union College, Dan Gableman. Of course, Union just won its very first NCAA hockey championship, so congratulations to you guys. And Coach Gableman, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
So I think I'm excited to hear not only about the progress that you've made with the school, but you know also what the recipe was for this year. I know it's Union has come a long way since, I guess, in the last decade or so. The program's come such a long way. I'd love to know what the recipe is there.
Honestly, the recipe for our success that we've really had is sticking to a process of, you know, attention to detail, hard work, and a team-first attitude. I've been very fortunate to come to an organization as the first strength coach they've had here at Union College, and that started back with Nate Lehman really driving to get someone here to make sure that this team keeps getting better. And when we look back and we just say, you know, guys like Kevin Seddon, Nate Lehman, and then Rick Bennett just taking over, these guys all said, you know, we're all going to do the same thing. We're going to really focus on hard work, attention to detail, you know. And then they got me to come in. I've been very fortunate to work with a dedicated group of athletes who just, I walked in and they bought in. They said, how hard can we work? How can we get better? And I think that's made the biggest difference is the culture that I was able to walk into to help improve the training that they had here to bring a more principle-based approach to the strength and conditioning side of things. And it's really made a huge difference for us and our team.
So what are your biggest goals? You've been there since 2011. What was your biggest goal coming in, and have you been able to accomplish that so far?
I think everybody's big goal is always to win a championship. So I think my biggest goal was to help Union College win a national championship. And when I was looking at the job coming into this, you know, I'd never heard of Union College and I'd never heard of the town Schenectady. You know, I could barely say the name of this town when I was first looking at it, you know, and then you just get this amazing opportunity to come here to see what kind of culture they have and just build something. And really, I walked in, and again, I don't mean to repeat myself, but it was very easy. The culture that was built here was just to come in and do work. So my big goal was just to get buy-in to my program, and that took one day. I walked in, we talked, and the guy said, hey, you know, we're on board. We want to go, and we want to get better. And from there, from that point, you know, I've really been able to try new things, whether I want breathing techniques, whether it be PRI or DNS or using some soft rolling techniques. No one ever questioned that stuff, you know, so it makes it much easier to have success with your guys when they just say yes. And, you know, that comes from our coaches and what they've built here as a program, and I've just been very fortunate to join this organization.
Yeah, that's a great role to be able to step into there. So what, take us back to last summer, did you know that this was a special team or a team that had the potential to do this, and then how did you approach this team starting from last summer and throughout the season?
Honestly, I don't think that any of our coaching staff thought that, you know, this was something this team was going to do. It's always the goal, and it's always where you start at and say the end goal is, you know, how do we get them there? But, you know, we lost two key players. You know, our starting All-American goaltender, Troy Grosnick, signed early, and he left. We lost another key point guy for us. You know, and he left after his junior year. You know, we're asking how are we filling goals. We're getting recruits who are supposed to be a year later to come in earlier. You know, we weren't really sure where this year would go. At the beginning of the season, you know, our starting goaltender, concussion within the first 6 minutes of the first game that he played. You know, and, you know, we just kind of hit that. And, you know, I think we started 3-3-1. We really had no idea that this was coming, you know, but we look back and you sit and you take our leaders, Matt Bodie, Dan Carr, Shane Gossesbear, and Cole Ikla, and, you know, and they just took this team and said, you know, we're just going to keep going in the same direction. We're going to keep working hard, and no matter who's in the lineup, we're going to help each other. So coaches are coaching on the bench. Players are coaching each other on the bench. And, you know, that just kept building. And, you know, we're very fortunate. You know, Shane came up and he stepped up and did what he did, which I think everyone saw, especially in our championship game. Matt Bodie, who's been doing the same game for the last 4 years and really putting Union College on the map, and same with Dan Carr and Cole Ikola. These guys are just an incredible leading force, you know, especially our senior class, you know, including Matt Hatch, who scored pivotal goals in the regionals and in the championship series. It's just been amazing to watch those guys go.
Do you, you obviously, you talked a little bit about on ice, but do you see that same work ethic and that same sort of leadership translate into the weight room as well?
Again, I'm fortunate to walk into this type of culture, but yes, our guys do it everywhere. They just walk in and they say, yes, coach. And they, you know, if you ask them to jump, they'll say how high. If I told them that today we're going to work out by running through a brick wall, they'll ask me how to do it. There is no question. There's no, you know, well, my coach at home says this. Well, I don't really believe in that. You know, everybody's got their own opinions, and our guys clearly have their own opinions. But when they walk in and a coach says, this is how we're going to do this today, they say, yes, coach. And that's an amazing athlete to work with. And the biggest thing was just having everyone on board to do that, no matter what the opinion, no matter what they felt. And that started with Matt Bodie. You know, he'll walk down and he's just this lead by example guy who would do everything right. He's going to work harder than you. He's going to clean up first. He's going to make sure that everybody's doing the right thing. If I had an issue with anybody, if someone wasn't doing what they should be, I knew that Matt would say something, or Dan Carr would be like, hey, coach, did you get everybody in for the FMS? I know that we're supposed to get this done before the season starts. You know, have you gotten everybody? How can I text someone to get them there? Leadership is everything, and honestly, that's what got us to a championship, was just the leadership from that senior class. It was absolutely incredible what they were able to do and accomplish.
That's great. Yeah, that's definitely a key to any championship season. So what about going forward now? Has the dust settled there? I mean, have you put your summer plans together? What does the summer look like for the guys?
The summer looks very similar right now. We just started training. We're just finishing week two of training right now. You know, we've already done our body fat testing. You know, we've got guys who are over body fat who are doing extra rides, extra work. No one has anything bad to say. You know, they just come in, they're like, yep, we know where we're at. We know what we need to do. And they're ready to get back on board and going for the summer. You know, right now we're trying to stick to more of a triphasic idea of training. Our first block was an isometric emphasis. Next week we're going to go into an eccentric emphasis, and then I'm going to go into kind of a volume-based GPP emphasis right before they leave for the summer. And then during the summer, the first two phases are going to be working on close to max strength, and then we'll start working into power endurance and then get more and more into that stuff as we get to preseason.
That's great. How many of the will the guys stick around? Will you get 50% of the team, 80% of the team? How many of them stay around for the summer?
We actually generally don't have anyone stay around for the summer because we're on a three-term school or trimester system. Our guys will get in here around the third or fourth week of August and generally don't leave until the second week of June. So they generally only get about 12 days home for Christmas. So we actually encourage our guys to go home and to be at home. They only get about 2 months to really do that. And we think it's a nice mental break. I know that I keep, you know, hitting the nail on the head here, just keep talking about, you know, our culture, but it's not something that we have to worry about when we send guys home to do our program. You know, we know that they're going to go back and do it. I think a big thing for me this summer is that any guys who are going to work at another facility with another coach, I'm going to get their contact information, and I'm going to personally contact all the coaches that they're going to be working with to just talk about what we're trying to accomplish here, so that, you know, we can get the same thing done in the summer. Because if our guys can go and work with someone else and they have someone's eyes on them, pressing them to work hard, I want that. You know, I just want them to know what our testing is and kind of what I expect to see out of our guys when we get back, so that everybody's prepared, nobody gets hurt in testing, and we're ready to go for the season.
All right, good stuff. Well, again, I think you've done sort of modestly, you've passed off a lot of what the culture is onto other people. But, you know, for a championship team and for a championship culture like that, it definitely takes everybody. So you're doing a good job there. You're obviously doing something right. So best of luck to you in the future, and I hope your success continues.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I try to just work as hard as I can for our organization here.
Sounds good. All right, thanks, Dan.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
All right, thanks to Coach Gableman for joining us. Dan actually is a pretty frequent contributor to the forum, so you can actually see a lot of his conversations online if you're a member. Remember, you can try HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com for just $1 for the first 7 days. So it's an incredible bargain for all the information that's on the site. You'll get contributions from Coach Gableman, Mike Potenza, our first guest, and all the HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com partners. All right, well, that's going to wrap up Episode 9 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Remember, you can see several of the HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com partners at the upcoming NSCA Training for Ice Hockey Clinic in Colorado Springs. 3 of the 4 partners will be in attendance. That'll be Sean Skane from the Anaheim Ducks, Kevin Neal from Endeavor Fitness, and Daryl Nelson from the national team. We'll also hear from several of the HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com contributors, like Brijesh Patel from Quinnipiac and Cal Dietz from Minnesota. All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Look for episode 10 coming out later this month. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next time.